Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to the Boss's Desk, where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, the Big Boss, and I'm here with my man, the Professor. What's up, bro?
What's happening? What's happening, everybody? What's going on, boss?
Just chilling. Another day in the life.
Getting ready for that next round of the white stuff, unfortunately.
I know, man. It's like, I feel like it's March. We should be done with this stuff, but, you know.
Right? Well, they're saying we got two more from what I've heard. One tomorrow and then one Saturday, Sunday, Monday, something like that.
They can play if they want. I'm going to be home. That's what I'm saying. Call of Duty.
Yep. As long as we got power, I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. All right. Well, we got a couple items in geek news and movies, and we're going to like just go right into them. And, you know, we'll share with you guys what we thought and, you know, give you some reviews for what's coming up next. So let's dive right in. Weekend box office. Really nothing surprising there. I think it's Black Panther still at number one. We got Red Sparrow at number two, and I want to say I can't remember what was at number three. I believe it was Peter Rabbit, but
Peter Rabbit or Death Wish maybe.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Black Panther is still killing it in the box office right now. I think it passed the 500 million mark over the weekend. Yeah, it was Death Wish is number three. So yeah, I mean, it's been pretty crazy. It's been pretty crazy this past weekend. Looks like I believe it was 40, maybe 50 million for Black Panther over the weekend, and then we got 16 for Red Sparrow, 16 mil for Red Sparrow, and for Death Wish, it's about a solid 12 million for Death Wish. So, nothing really surprising there. No. I'm glad Death Wish got up there to number three, because I think this was the debut weekend for these. So, yeah, I'm glad Death Wish was up there. I got a chance to see that over the weekend, and it was pretty solid. Like, I had a good time, so.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, what's your thoughts? What's your thoughts, man, on that?
I mean, look, it's the strongest movie right now. It's the biggest, the it's got the most behind it. It's the biggest train, whatever you want to call it, you know, right now. It's going to be number one for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Because there's really nothing else that's all that solid that's coming out behind it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you know, Death Wish is cool, but it's a remake. People don't really necessarily want to go see remakes. You know, kids movies are kids movies. They're going to make their money, but they're not going to make, you know, Marvel movie money ultimately, unless it's, you know, a Toy Story or something Pixar.
Yeah, right.
If there was a Pixar movie or, you know, like a good DreamWorks movie coming, I would expect they would probably bump Panther off pretty soon because it's, you know, a little over a month now or close to a month now.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's the, as far as people are concerned, it's the best movie that's out there right now. So I'm not surprised at all that it's holding on to the number one spot. Probably will for another couple weeks.
Yeah, man. I mean, we'll see, because this weekend there's another Disney movie coming out, A Wrinkle in Time, and there's a couple of other movies. But I'm pretty sure that most of these are going to like fail. So, but we'll talk about them. We'll talk about them when we get out to what's coming up this week, because I have some thoughts on some of these titles.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But let's go ahead and dive right into the geek news of the week. We got TV news coming up. So we got season 3 finale of Legends of Tomorrow. What I'm hearing is that Jax is supposed to be making a comeback. So that's good news to hear, especially for that, because I kind of felt like Jax got the short end of the stick for everything that kind of transpired. Dr. Martin Stein, he left the series basically through death, but you know, the actor himself, Victor Garber, wanted to leave. He was ready to leave. So you know, he kind of signed on for his last season, but it kind of like put Jax, the character of Jax, in a tight situation as far as like what they were going to be able to do for him, because I mean, as far as we're concerned, he doesn't really have any abilities out without Martin Stein. So it's good to see that he'll be coming back. I don't know how they're going to introduce him, how they're going to bring him back, if it's going to be a permanent move. But from what we're hearing is just that they're going to be bringing Jax back.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he unfortunately kind of gets the short end of the stick, right? You know, Victor Garber decides he's done with the comic book TV show. He wants to go on and do something else. And that's all well and good for him, but he's, mm-hmm. you know, one half of the character. So now
right.
you have this other guy. And, I mean, look, it's not his fault. He made his decision. You know, everybody has to live with that. It was either get rid of the character or recast him. And, you know, recasting somebody after two seasons just looks silly. You know,
yeah.
it looks too obvious. You know, like I just started watching Sense8, which I know some people have been watching on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't understand the first season really at all. I mean, I kind of understood what was going on, but it was really bizarre. one of the main characters, I watched the first episode, or started watching the first episode of season two, is a completely different actor for the same character. You know, and of course, the first episode, they make the joke where his best friend comes up and he goes, "You look a little different." And they pan to the guy and he goes, "New haircut," because now he's bald, but it's a completely different actor. You know what I mean? So it's that tongue-in-cheek kind of response to it, but it's still kind of like, eh. I prefer just a new character when it comes down to it, because it doesn't look the same. You know, it's like replacing the mother on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's too glaringly obvious.
Right, right.
Done. You know, so he didn't get much of a choice. You know, he kind of had to step aside because there was no other role for him. There really wasn't the point of having kind of a regular human with the Legends of Tomorrow. There's really nothing for him to do.
Yeah.
You know, other than potentially be, you know, an anchor kind of the team, because he's the one. You know, he doesn't have powers. He's going to get in trouble all the time. They're going to have to go rescue him. You know, and the thing moves on and on. It's kind of, you can almost see it coming the way that stuff works. So I don't know if he's coming back full time and they're going to hook him up with something, or if he's just coming back for an appearance because it's the season finale. I don't know, but I'd like to see him come back. I always liked kind of like the actor, and I'd like to see him kind of join back up with the team. I did like, you know, the episode with Wally this week. We can talk about that later. I thought Wally fit in pretty well with the team.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice addition going forward. It was a pretty good episode, so.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'd like to see what they're going to do with Jax, whether he's, you know, coming back or whether it's just going to be a one and done kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with his character. But I'm hopeful. I mean, it'll be good to see him again. Because we talked the other week about Roy coming back to Arrow. I don't know if that's permanent, but at least it's going to be an appearance. You know what I'm saying? It's just good to see familiar faces. So.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was always a good character too, Roy.
So. Yeah, definitely. Next up, we got a new trailer for Luke Cage season 2, and it is in your face. Like, I love it.
I mean, it's certainly in your face. I don't know what they're trying to tell us, per se. I mean, look, it's a teaser, so they're not going to give us a whole lot.
Right.
And it's basically just Luke in a camera screaming at you, "Come get me. You know, you can't kill me. Come get me," kind of thing.
Yeah.
We don't know who he's yelling at. You know, we can assume maybe it's Diamondback, because, you know, the end of last year's season, he's, you know, kind of being brought back by the scientist kind of thing. So
right.
We don't know what it's going to be. But, you know, his first season was so good. You know, I'm still upset that they got rid of Cottonmouth.
Yeah. Such a good character.
He was so good.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. I like the first season. I can't wait to see the second season.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be good. I know that they said that this season they would be focusing on clearing Luke's name. Watching a couple of scenes that we saw in the trailer, we get to see Luke kind of just like in your face, like, "I'm here, I'm not going anywhere," type of deal. And it gives you the vibe like, look, Cage is here to stay. And nobody's going to shake him. So it doesn't matter what challenges he faces. I'm kind of game for whatever is going to happen with this next season. So, I'm interested to see where it goes, man.
I'm in. We don't know if there's going to be any cameos this time around, if we're going to see Jessica Jones again, or if maybe
right.
we see, you know, some kind of trial and we have Matt Murdock pop up, or even if, you know, Danny Rand's going to pop up. But and we should know more pretty soon. Apparently, the release date is going to be June. I think it's the 22nd.
Yeah, June 22nd.
So we should have Luke Cage season 2. Looking forward, we should have some more before then.
Yeah,
at least a regular full trailer by then. That'll be pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
The other thing I did see, I just thought about this. I know we talked beforehand about some stuff I might be missing. Joe Quesada, the artist for Marvel, one of the all-time big names in Marvel. He was an artist there for a while, and he's got a big wig over there now. He actually did release a couple of drawings on his Twitter today, One of them is the image for Daredevil season 3, and then there's an image for Iron Fist season 2.
Oh, nice.
Both very, very cool images. We'll have to see if we can get them maybe copied over and put up somewhere. But it's the Daredevil one is it's all red and black. It's him jumping off a building. You know, behind him in the background is like a DD, and I don't remember if it was like a billboard or something, but it's a DD. And the building he's jumping off of has like three pillars in front of it to give you that three. It just looks really sweet.
Oh, that is pretty dope. Yeah, I'm checking it out now. Yeah, he's got one for Jessica Jones, Daredevil, and Iron Fist. Yeah.
The Iron Fist one is pretty cool. It's an all black background. It's fist in the middle and kind of a battle stance kind of pose. And there's like a trace of the Iron Fist chi in the shape of a two kind of in front of him.
Nice.
So that one's pretty sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love Quesada's artwork. He's done some old stuff with he did a Daredevil run with Kevin Smith. I think that was Quesada. That was really, really good. You know,
yeah.
his art is unbelievable. So
yeah, yeah.
I like when he does stuff like this. So yeah, let's see if we can get those posted up somewhere for everybody to see.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'll definitely have to pull those down for you guys to check it out on the website along with the show notes. So yeah, man. Check it out because there's some pretty good images, man. All right, let's move on down to movie news. We got a first look at DC's Death of Superman movie that they're working on right now. The picture doesn't really give a lot away, but we do get to see Supes with who I'm assuming is Lois Lane.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah, because we got intro to her. We got intro to her in some of the previous Justice League, these new 52 animated movies that they've been doing. So we got to see her a little bit. So I think that's what this is about. And apparently this is supposed to be first of a two-part story. Story's going to focus on Superman's battle with Doomsday. And then the second film will be called The Reign of Superman. And it's going to focus on the heroes that come to replace Superman after he passes. If you know this comic at all, we've seen this done so many times, the death of Superman. Basically, Doomsday comes, him and Superman get into an epic battle that ends in Superman's death, and these other heroes kind of rise up to replace Superman and still maintain that symbol of hope. And basically, the characters that we're going to be getting is Steel, Superboy, Cyborg Superman, who, if you've been watching Supergirl, you know who Cyborg Superman is, but it's a different kind of iteration of him. But it's pretty cool. And then you got the Last Son of Krypton, a.k.a. the Eradicator. And it's cool because they've kind of been setting this up because in the first New 52-esque animated film, Justice League War, you get intro to Steel. What's his name? His name is John Henry.
John Henry.
Yeah, he's John Henry. He's one of the guys that's working on in the construction site right as Superman, Green Lantern, and Batman are taking on one of or a couple of these Darkseid's guys.
Parademons.
The Parademons. Yeah, he was fighting the Parademons, and like right before a steel beam falls on this random guy, John Henry comes and saves him, and then they kind of like leave the scene. Because I thought it was kind of weird that the guy says his full name, and normally when they do that, it's just like, hey, this guy's going to be important later.
Yeah, they're trying to hit you over the head and be like, hey, pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I don't know how it goes down at other people's jobs, but if it's really about to go down, I'm not calling somebody's full government out. I'm like, yo, let's go. It's very pronouns. I use John a lot. So. But yeah, man, I've definitely been into these animated films that DC has been producing. It's been really great storytelling, really great composition. I love the characters that they have in there, and the way that they do the focuses are a lot better than how I feel like the live action movies are getting. If they had really just taken a beat from the animated movies for Justice League, I think we would have got a much more interesting Justice League turn out the first time out, you know? So
if they would use the writers from the animated movies for the regular movies, they would probably get much better movies in the long run.
But, oh, yeah.
Now, I didn't see this article. Is it for short named Reign of Superman for the second one, or is it Reign of Supermen?
It might be.
Because I know the comics, if I remember correctly, so Death of Superman was its own comic. You know, like mm-hmm. he said, he fights Doomsday. They wind up in the middle of Metropolis. To save Metropolis, he goes all out, and they end up basically killing each other, essentially, or so everybody thinks. But the group of comics that came after that was actually called Reign of Supermen, because these four come back and they're trying to take over the mantle of Superman. You know, some of them are pretending to be him coming back from the dead. Steel is just trying to take his place, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Superboy legend is that he's a clone of Superman, so he's kind of trying to step up and, you know, that kind of thing. The other two are pretending that they are the actual Superman coming back from the dead. So they did call it Reign of Supermen.
It might be. Yeah, I remember it being stated that it was Reign of Superman, but I could be reading it wrong.
Okay. It's not a big deal in the long run. I was just curious because if I recall correctly, that's exactly what the comics were called, was Reign of Superman.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's called Reign of Supermen. So okay. Yeah. Cool.
So it's interesting. I mean, the comic series were pretty good from what I recall.
Yeah.
You know, spoiler alert, he does come back eventually. You know, comics years old at this point. Everybody should know it.
Yeah. I mean, they already kind of did it in Batman v Superman. So
I was just going to say, yeah, this will finally be the good version of the Death of Superman as opposed to the movie, which was just not done very well. So this will be cool. I look forward to seeing this two-parter because like we've said before, their anime stuff is always very good. Their animated stuff tends to follow the comics, you know, from my understanding, from what I've seen and read, pretty closely.
Yeah.
So this will be pretty cool to see if this gets finally done the proper way and we actually get the true story. And if, you know, with just listing those four in a set called The Reign of Supermen, to me, that tells me right away that they're going right from the pages to bring it to
them. Yeah.
Which will be very cool.
Yeah, and they've always been really solid with their storytelling, so I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah. Next up, Avengers Infinity War could be the longest MCU film ever at 2 hours and 30 minutes. Now, this is to be expected. I kind of, I didn't really see anything out of the ordinary. It just makes sense for this. This is pretty much capstone. This is capstone. Avengers movies are always capstone films and they mean the most. So they need to be the longest because we have more characters involved. So you want to tell a grander story and you want to spend time telling it. So I'm with it.
Yeah. The first time I saw this, I was kind of like, well, duh. You know, I mean, it's right. It's the culmination of 10 years worth of movies at this point or whatever it is at this point. I think it is 10 years. Yeah. Because Iron Man was 2008. So it's the culmination of 10 years worth of movies, you know, 2 or 3 movies a year, you know, do the math, figure it out.
Yeah.
It's going to be the longest. It's going to be the most epic. You know, it's going to have everything that you possibly want at that point. Now, whether it's actually going to have an ending or a cliffhanger is a whole other story that nobody's really kind of revealed just yet.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for years it was, it's going to be Infinity War Part 1 and 2. And then it was, no, they're going to be 2 separate movies. Yet every actor who talks about it is like, yeah, we're going back to film Part 2 next week, you know, when they were talking about that before. So it's like, well, wait a minute. So so we don't know exactly yet.
Yeah.
The common opinion is that there's going to be some kind of, and I'd kind of like to see this way too, that there's going to be some kind of villainous victory, quote unquote, at the end of this one. Like Thanos is going to somehow have some kind of victory that he takes.
Yeah.
That leads over to the next Avengers movie.
Yeah, we need that. We need that.
Now, what'll be interesting is to see how they integrate that, because the other movies that are coming out between now and the next Avengers movie, now, look, it's only going to be another year after this one, but you're still going to have Ant-Man and the Wasp coming out after it. You're going to have what's next year, I think, is Captain Marvel, I think maybe before Infinity War 2, whatever it's going to be called.
Yeah.
So how they're going to tie all this in together. Now, Captain Marvel will be a little bit easier because it's a prequel. It's from the 1980s to the setting. Ant-Man versus the Wasp, not so much because I think that's supposed to be following the current storylines, you know, the current timeline. So who knows at this point how it's going to end? But
yeah, it'll be interesting because
things very interesting.
The trailer kind of sounds like it's happening right after Civil War, but I'm kind of hoping that I'm hoping that maybe it'll take place after, like, we're in this world after the fact. I would love to see some other story that kind of exists in this world post the Thanos victory. So
sure,
yeah.
I mean, Infinity War obviously taking place after Ragnarok. That's, we know that timeline for sure,
right?
But I don't know if they ever really gave us an idea as far as where Ragnarok fell. If it's right after Age of Ultron, or if it's, you know, if it's in line with Civil War, because the Hulk and Thor aren't in Civil War, so they never really kind of gave us that nod that I caught as far as when Ragnarok exactly took place. So they can kind of play with that a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see,
yeah, you know,
how that pans out as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so next up, we got some Black Panther concept art that gives a nod to the original Black Panther and some interesting concepts for some other costumes. So, yeah.
I like these a lot. Yeah, man. I like these a lot. I mean, the T'Chaka one kind of looks kind of similar to what he had already.
Right.
From what I remember. But the other two, man, Killmonger's especially would have been better in the movie had they been able to pull it off the way it looks there. Just, you know, add some of the yellow highlights to it like we were talking, or the gold highlights to it like we were talking.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah, so, like, I'll try and describe these as best as I can, but, like, we'll put them up on the website so you guys can check them out later. But T'Challa's concept almost beat for beat looks like it was ripped from the latest comics that are out right now. So you have the Ta-Nehisi Coates run that's going on right now in the Marvel Universe, and it's like, it feels very cat-like. Like, he's like snarling almost. You know what I'm saying? So his helmet is like, it's more cat-like in the mouth area, and it's more dynamic in his eyes because it looks like the comic book character. Killmonger's is around the same beat. It's just they play on the scarification that Eric Killmonger has in the film. And basically what they do is they translate that into the suit. So you can see like these little welts that are on the costume. And it's really cool. And if they really did have that concept, it would have been awesome to see those welts, those kind of like scars with on the costume itself kind of glow gold. And then the face looks so cat-like. There's no denying it. Like, he has like, all you would need is some whiskers and you're good to go.
Yeah, they're both very much like that.
Yeah.
Cat ready to pounce, kind of eyes narrow, ears down to the sides.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like you'd expect to see a panther lowering itself to the ground, getting ready to leap at somebody. That's
pretty much what
the helms look like. They're really sweet.
Yeah, yeah. And T'Chaka's is awesome because, it gives that reference to the original Black Panther costume with the cape. You know, I'm expecting him to have the spear and the sword and the black sword in hand. Like, it looks like beat for beat like the original Black Panther. And, like, I like T'Chaka's costume even in the movie because he had this, like, menacing look to him when he, like, gets revealed in the first scene. Like, it's really cool. So, yeah, we'll put these pictures up on the website so you guys can check them out, but it looks really good.
Yeah, it's very nice stuff. It's maybe they'll hopefully use some of it maybe in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So, next up in the movie news, we got some game movies coming out. The Uncharted movie is stated to not be an adaptation of the game, but to be a Nathan Drake origin film. And so with the casting news that we already have for Uncharted, Tom Holland is going to be playing young Nathan Drake, and we're going to be getting this adaptation film for the Uncharted game series.
Right. My favorite game series, you know, ever so far. You know, It's close with Assassin's Creed, is right up there.
Yeah.
But this one was just always, you know, the old commercials used to be, you know, the guy sitting talking to the camera going, my girlfriend doesn't know I'm playing a game. She thinks we're watching a movie. And you look at you watch commercials and you're like, that's just stupid. Then you play the game and you're like, well, it's not too far off because they really are really that immersive. They really do feel like movies when you're playing them. They're just fantastic games.
Yeah.
And they just got better as each one came out. So
yeah, definitely.
this yeah, series like I the, definitely look forward to seeing too as a movie because it was just that good as a game series.
Yeah. Yeah, the games were incredible. The one I believe I played one and I played two. Got to play one and two. And they like as far as cinematic you know, themes, like there are I mean it plays as a movie. And I would dare say that if we don't get a successful Tomb Raider, this Uncharted movie could actually solidify the game to movie adaptation, in my opinion. Because my whole thing with game adaptations is a lot of times these games, when they originally come out, they already play out as movies. So the right. best that you can really do is just repeat everything that we already played in the game. It doesn't really offer you any deeper look within the world. That's what these movies have to provide moving forward. They have to introduce new audiences to this character, and they also have to give current audiences something different that they didn't have before. Right. You could see it start to take shape with Assassin's Creed. There were still a lot of things that they could have done with that movie, but basically what they were trying to do was tell a different part of the story that was happening alongside of the world in which we were playing in. So right. there are some characters that bleed over into Assassin's Creed Origins, but this story in and of itself was his own self-contained universe, which was cool because it basically leads into Origins, but doesn't basically rehash it. So, Tomb Raider looks like they're going for the full on action, and they're making Laura a really likable character, and you're going to really be wanting to see this movie. I just don't know if they're going to expand on what we've already experienced with Rise of the Tomb Raider and I think it's like Legend of the Tomb Raider. The two new ones that we just got, right. which play out beautifully, like as far as cinema is concerned, like these two games play out like film. So they would really need to add something to the story if we're going to really be watching this. If you're going to introduce it to new audiences, I think it's going to win out just basically being an origin story, but. This Nathan Drake one, the way that they're setting this up, we never got introduced to Nathan Drake as a kid. So this is going to, we get flashbacks. We get like flashbacks in one and I think in two, but it'll be nice to really see it take the forefront in this movie. So
there is, I think it's three that opens with a small storyline part where you actually play as a young Nathan Drake.
Nice.
They show you, you know, how he's basically a kid on the streets at like 10 or 11. You know, he's a pickpocket. He breaks into museums trying to get, you know, Drake's ring, you know, because he believes that Drake, I always forget the explorer's first name. I think it's Alexander. I don't remember exactly.
Is it Francis Drake, I want to say?
Maybe it is Francis Drake. But it's supposed to be, essentially they try to tell you that that's his ancestor, you know, years ago. So he's trying to get into this museum and steal the ring because he believes it belongs to his family, and it just turns into a whole thing. And that's where he meets Sully for the first time because he tries to pick Sully's pocket and Sully catches him and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a gap there. Once that finishes, it fasts forward you to modern day Nathan Drake, who's probably in his early to mid 30s, I think is basically what they're getting at. You know, from Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, Uncharted 3, I think he's kind of in that early 30s to mid 30s kind of range. Uncharted 4, he's a little bit older. But there's that gap there from that, you know, 11-year-old kid to the 30-some-year-old guy that's never explored in the games anywhere to show you anything about him. And I think that's where Holland's going to fit in pretty perfectly.
Yeah.
Because he's got that right age, he's got the right look, and he's got, you know, look, if you've never played the Uncharted series, it's a lot of parkour, it's a lot of Indiana Jones-style type action, adventure in the games, and Holland is going to do that very well. He did Spider-Man perfect.
Yeah.
He's going to do this very well because he's going to fit into what he's able to do.
Right, right.
So this, you know, depending on who's writing it, what kind of script they get, this has potential to finally be a good, you know, video game adaptation to a movie because there really haven't been any.
Nah.
You know, ultimately that worked out really, really well. This has that potential.
Yeah.
And I think the game itself leads to that a lot where it's very much got the Indiana Jones feel to it where he's the treasure hunter and he's going after you know, I forget the name, like the Lost Treasure of Coronado, and the one city, the one he's looking for, the city of, I want to say Shambhala, but I don't think that's right. That's the one I'm looking for. Anyway, it's a very much an Indiana Jones treasure hunter type of feel movie, so it has potential to be really, really good.
Yeah.
Even if you've never played the game, it should be fun to watch.
Yeah, and that's really going to be the kicker. Is like, even if you haven't played the game or don't want to play the game, at least you'll be able to watch a movie with a fan that and really get into it. I think that's really what's going to make this film. So
yeah, and if you are a gamer and you have a PlayStation, you should play them because they're fantastic games.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm getting a PS4 finally, so
nice.
I'm going to be playing Uncharted like a madman.
Got to play 3 and 4. Hey, even the new one, it doesn't have Drake. It's more characters from other games, but even the new one was very good.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. All right, let's move on to what's next. Next up, we got Mark Hamill talking about he wants to join Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Awesome. And Gunn is interested. And so we got the whole conversation here, and we'll put it up on the website so you guys can see the details. But it's like it's a back and forth. And, you know, somebody starts it off by, you know, saying like, hey, you should find a role for Mark Hamill in Guardians 3. And James is like, I mean, he lives right around the corner from me, so, you know, maybe we can make this happen. And, you know, Mark chimes in. So it's a back and forth that basically leads to them just, hey, DM me and we can figure this out. I'm like, I'm so excited for this.
I think my favorite part of the whole thing is I would be happy to do so both as a good neighbor and an unemployed actor. All the best, Mark Hamill. And you can tell, you know, look, there's not many people who don't like Mark Hamill. He seems to be a really genuinely good guy.
Right.
And he just really has no clue really how Twitter works overall. As you can tell by the end of the conversation where he says, just followed you. Is that how DMs work? You know, by the tone of the conversation, they live like right around the corner from each other.
Right.
And basically saying, hey, we're neighbors. We'll get together. We'll have coffee. And maybe we'll talk about you being Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So to me, that's a pretty good sign. We might get some Mark Hamill in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which would just be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Who he would play at this point, I have no idea, but we don't even know what the story is going to be yet. We won't
right.
for some time. But it doesn't matter. You know, you can't go wrong with having Mark Hamill, even if he's just doing voices, you can't go wrong with having Mark Hamill as part of your franchise.
Yeah. You
know, especially for a sci-fi space movie, you know, so that'll be awesome. Look forward.
Yeah, man. It's like you can never really do wrong with adding talent to your film. But what makes this more plausible is that they're both in the Disney camp. You know what I'm saying? So
Yeah. It's
very easy for us to see somebody from Star Wars coming over to Marvel and somebody from Marvel going over to Star Wars making cameos. So this is very plausible. I've seen images of John Boyega with fan art of him as Blade. So this is very possible. You know what I'm saying?
And if this happens, you know, believing in Gunn as I do,
uh-huh.
I can absolutely 100% hear the line from Mark Hamill going, Peter, I am your father. Just because it would be hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
Very funny.
Yeah, so we could definitely use a line like that. Oh, man. So, yeah, let's get into some positive news. We got some positive movie news coming up. I'm sure a lot of us have been hearing this from last week, but Disney is opening an Oakland STEM Center after the success of Black Panther. Now, it's not just in Oakland. Apparently, they're donating $1 million to the Boys and Girls Club of America for them to invest in their STEM centers all over the country. And, you know, more like depraved environments, like where they're not investing this money. So this is really good, positive news coming from the success of Marvel films. And it's like, it's not just this news. This news is kind of like the start of it. So apparently they've been kind of prepping for this for a while. I mean, like, you know, Marvel Studios is coming up on its 10-year. So most people will tell you when you get success, the best thing that you can do is to give that, give the blessings that come with that success out to just people who deserve it. And so Marvel is like now taking an initiative to try and, you know, donate to help further children's education all over the country. And it's like, it started with Black Panther. Like, this is really good news. I like this.
That's fantastic news.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's, you said this is donating $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, look, in the time it just took me to say dollars, Disney made $1 million. So it's nothing for them to be able to do stuff like this, which is right. Which is what makes it great, because they know that they can put that kind of money out and that kind of money make a huge difference in these different communities and whatnot. So
yeah, yeah.
So it's great. Good on Disney for getting around doing this. It's awesome.
Yeah, man. Because that's always the worry. It's like, you like, oh man, people are making a whole bunch of money, but they're not making an impact on the world around them. So this is really good news to hear that Disney has taken, you know, all the money that they've been making and now they're pouring it into other people to kind of like continue that legacy of hope. You know what I'm saying? So this is great. Let's get right into the next piece. We got Ralph Breaks the Internet. Wreck-It Ralph 2. The trailer has been released.
And it looks very funny.
And it looks hilarious. And I'm all for it.
I mean, I love the first one. If for nothing else than all the old school video game references they throw at you during the entire thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the reason I'm looking forward to Ready Player One also, to try to catch all those references and whatnot. But
oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
This just looks like it's going to – I mean, the first one was a lot of fun. This looks like it's going to be more of the same. You know, it's just – he actually gets out into the internet. He starts learning about, like, memes and ads and things. It looks like it's going to be pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely looking forward to this one.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking at the trailer. They go through all this, and then they get to this last little part where they're playing this little game. Where you're sliding the milkshakes into one yes. end and you're sliding the cakes to the other. And so they're just filling this bunny up with pancakes until basically the bunny pops.
Bunny explodes.
The bunny explodes on this little girl's tablet and she freaks out. Just hilarious. He's like, oh no, you can eat that last one. And it slow slides in there and it's just like, oh God. I never look at pancakes the same.
There's just that pop, and you see the little girl watching the iPad. Basically, it's going to be like a tablet, an iPad of some kind. And she just lets out this scream because now she's watching the little bunny that she was playing video games explode.
Now, I'm not sure, so I'm going to have to lean. I'm going to have to lean on our geekdom to help us out here. But I know that little girl looks familiar. She actually looks like the younger version of Moana in the Moana movie. So, yeah, anybody that's out there, if you see this part of the trailer, tell me if I'm just losing it or not. But she looks like the little girl from Moana. Like, no lie.
Well, this is just the teaser we have linked here. How long we find that? There it is. The official trailer.
Yeah.
Is the bunny exploding? She does kind of look a little bit like Moana, but she's in a car, so I don't know.
Yeah, so you won't really know unless she was like standing up. But like, she look at least her face, her like the big eyes. She looks like Moana as a little baby. So
she does, but like I guess my point is, Moana's based in a coastal tribal town. They don't really have cars.
Right,
so
right.
I don't know why she'd be in the back of a car, although she does look just like her.
Yeah, I feel like that's a Pixar thing, though. Like, they'll reuse assets without,
they do.
Like to make little nods or put little Easter eggs in. So,
they do.
I don't know, maybe.
I mean, look, you could spend hours upon hours looking through Toy Stories to find all the connections to all the different movies.
Yeah.
You know, like the one that's like a bathroom carpet that's the same colors as Sully from Monsters, Inc. You know, and then there's... You know, a poster on the wall in Monsters, Inc. that's from the movie Up. They intertwine everything, and they do it brilliantly. Because unless you actually sit and look for that stuff, you'll never see it.
Right, right.
But the way they do it works so well. So I wouldn't be surprised that's kind of what they're going for, that she's supposed to be some little kid.
Yeah.
Either Moana or some kid from that tribe.
Right, right.
You know, in some way, shape, or form. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well, let's go into some DC movie news. Basically, we're getting some Wonder Woman 2 news. The villain for that film is going to be Cheetah. So this is interesting. I mean, it makes sense because Cheetah is Wonder Woman's like arch nemesis, and yeah, she's pretty much the main bad guy from the Wonder Woman comics, besides Ares. So this is kind of par for the course for me, but it'll be interesting to see how they use the character in the film.
I mean, I'm just trying to envision. Look, DC's history of CGI so far has not been good.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you didn't like Killer Croc? I thought Killer Croc was good. The prosthetics were good.
No, I'm just going to pretend.
Just kidding.
Before he asked for BET as his reward for being part of the Suicide Squad so he can watch booty videos in his jail cell.
Oh, man. It was excruciating.
I get why they're using the character. Like you said, mm-hmm, it's her main villain. But I think you run a risk of some trouble here because you either make her like the comic book character and you turn her into an actual cheetah, which people are going to be like, that's kind of corny. Or you put her in a suit and she now looks like a cheetah wearing some kind of suit and people go, well, you're just trying to, you know, break off Black Panther. It's kind of a no win. You know, unfortunately for this character, depending right on how they do it. My initial guess would be they're going to CGI it, and I just don't think it's going to look very good. But who knows at this point? You know, I obviously can't see it in the future, but there's no trust in DC anymore, unfortunately. So
all hope is lost.
You know, and the rumor is that they want to use Kristen Wiig as the cheetah character, and I'm not initially a big Kristen Wiig fan to begin with.
Right.
You know, people will tell you know, nobody expected Heath Ledger to be any good as the Joker. It's true. But people expected Jared Leto to be pretty good as the Joker. That didn't happen. So it's kind of a toss-up. Obviously, you're not going to know until you see it, but
yeah.
My faith in anything DC is nowhere to be found these days anyway, outside of their animated stuff. So
right. I feel like Wonder Woman is the only one to...
comment on this being the choice of villains for Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah. I feel like Wonder Woman is the one that they're at least winning on a little bit.
You know,
granted, I had my problems with Wonder Woman just in the way that they wrap things up, but I really like the movie. So hopefully, you know, I mean, they got Patty Jenkins to come back on. So, you know, here's hoping that it still continues to be good. But DC, I mean, if all you have is one good movie that you're leaning on, you know, yeah, it's not really good. It sucks because Wonder Woman's a solid character. The movie was good, and it's just a shame that she's kind of like by herself out there.
Yeah. Now, I mean, look, it's obvious from Justice League that she's going to be their point character going forward.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand how you make DC movies and Batman's not your point character moving forward, considering it's probably the single most popular comic book character in the entire world. But, I mean, it's their strongest movie so far, so you can't bang on them too much for giving her the push and pushing her forward.
Yeah.
Especially since they don't even know if they're going to have Batman too much longer.
Yeah, he's pulling a Murtaugh.
He's getting too old for this. But yeah, I mean, look, do I want them to succeed? Of course I want them to succeed. I'm a comic book fan. I love the comic book movies. You know, I'm one of the few guys who pretty much has liked every single Marvel movie they've done. Some of them are on my lower end of the scale, but I'm a fan of all the ones Marvel's done, and I'm just not a fan of the DC ones. And it's not because I'm not a DC fan. I do enjoy some of the DC comics. You know, my favorite comic right now is the whole Injustice series. It's amazing.
Oh, man, reading
it since it started and haven't stopped. You know, one of my all-time favorite comic book characters is Lobo. You know, and he's a DC character. So it's not that I hate all things DC. I don't. I just think their movies have been terrible. So,
well, you know, you can look forward to that Lobo movie with Michael Bay.
That just hurts my soul.
Oh, man. That was rough to hear. But, yeah.
They just give it to the bowl. See what he can do with it. Be just as good.
Oh, man. They really hate us.
Threaten to punch anybody. Yeah. He can come out and threaten to fight everybody who hates his Lobo movie, too. Like, he's always telling Lobo movies, the big garbage.
God, dog. Ugh. I could go for a Jonah Hex movie directed by Clint Eastwood.
You know, you laugh. That might not actually be too terrible. That might
work. I'll say it.
You know, the first Jonah Hex movie wasn't completely terrible. It wasn't good, but it wasn't completely terrible. Brolin makes up for a lot in that movie.
Yeah, he does.
It's just poorly written. You know, it's the story of the DC. You know, the DC universe is.
Yeah, man.
You know, and look. Like I've said before, I own Green Lantern. I don't own Suicide Squad. I own Jonah Hex, too, somewhere on DVD, and I don't own Suicide Squad. Right. So that should tell y'all something, as far as I'm concerned.
Suicide Squad sucks.
Yes, it was terrible.
Oh, man. Last out to round our news out today, we're going to look at some New Mutants news. Basically, they're adding a new character in the reshoots that they're doing this summer. So, yeah, take that how you will.
Yeah, they didn't mention any characters or anything, so I'm not quite sure what that's all about.
Yeah, it could be anything at this point. You know, a lot of people are, you know, making a conclusion, oh, they're prepping to merge with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's why they're doing these reshoots. That's why Dark Phoenix has the scrolls in there. So, I mean, it's a lot of different things, but right now we know absolutely nothing. So,
yeah,
basically just doing reshoots.
The only other thing we really do know is that apparently Fox is trying to get out as many movies as humanly possible before this merger takes place, because they have, what, 5 X-Men movies slated for the next year and a half or 2 years, whatever it is.
Fire sale.
So, yeah, exactly. Get it out there before we have to get rid of it. So.
Oh, man. Trying to get at least. I mean, I definitely don't blame them. Try to get as much money as you can before your stuff is over.
Yeah, so. But it doesn't bode well for the quality of the movies.
You know, nah.
I mean? So that's what concerns me. And personally, the X-Men movies for me haven't been very good since like X2.
Right.
So
right.
You know, and I don't consider Deadpool and Logan X-Men movies. I'm talking about movies with the actual title X-Men. You know, in the title. So that stuff worries me because it hasn't. To me, that's
yeah. Well, that's it for the news. We're gonna go into some special topics today. I got a nice one that I'm gonna pull out my bag today. So today we're going to do one thing in your geekdom that you would have adapted to film. So it could be anything: books, games, comics, anything, like any topic that you want to see adapted in the film. So what you got for me, Professor?
Man, I got a couple off the top of my head. Now that
okay,
we're
okay.
Some of this stuff. Ultimately, the one thing that I always thought would have made a fantastic movie or a fantastic couple of movies was the original Secret Wars series from Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
The original, where Spider-Man gets the Venom symbiote suit, you know, on the planet, blah, blah, blah. It'd be tough to kind of do, although it might be a little bit easier in a year or two.
Right.
But I always thought that would be great. You know, even as an animated movie would be fantastic, as long as you do it like the comics and follow the comics, which, you know, they'll have all those characters back at this point and be able to do that. So,
yeah.
You know, Uncharted was one that I immediately thought of, you know, and I forgot they were actually going ahead with that movie because I haven't heard anything about it for a while.
Yeah.
But the two other ones that popped up in my head right away were Destiny, I think, has potential to make for a really, really good movie.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Because of the sci-fi aspect to it and the way that the game is.
Yeah.
It would be tough to base it too much off the game itself, but you could figure out a way to do it because it's got, you know, different warring alien clans that you know, your guardians have to go after. Guardians all have different sects that you can create. You know, the warlocks and the titans and the hunters. You can have a whole bunch of setup with that. You know, it has potential to make a really decent movie.
Yeah.
But the main one, I think, that comes to mind after I've said those two now, it's actually Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, nice, nice.
Which is a fantastic game. Another one, if you have a PlayStation, get your hands on Horizon Zero Dawn. It's an amazing game. Story-wise, visual-wise, it's awesome. It's awesome. And it would make for a really, really good movie.
Yeah.
Just the whole premise of, you know, kind of technology's kind of gone awry and kind of thrown everything back to almost a Stone Age type area, but they have these little bits and pieces of technology that still stick around.
Yeah.
You know, could be a really, really good story. So that would make for a decent movie, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I got.
Cool, cool. Yeah, for me, normally it's anything Neil Gaiman, but it you know, come to find out most of his stuff gets adapted anyway, so I don't really have to worry about that. You got Lucifer, you got American Gods. I'm pretty sure they're going to do a Nancy Boys after American Gods. So, I mean, I'm down for anything Neil Gaiman that gets adapted. But if
for a while about Sandman too.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder what happened to that. I wonder what happened to that. I know Joseph Gordon-Levitt was attached to that for a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's just radio silence. So, I hope that still gets picked up because that was a pretty trippy comic. Yeah, but yeah, he's got some really good products of geekdom that would definitely serve well as adaptations. But if I can really adapt anything that's not Neil Gaiman or something that hasn't been done yet, I got three games. So the first one is the Legacy of Kain series.
Good call.
Yeah, man. Like, yo, for years we got movies about vampires and werewolves for years, and nothing was quite like Legacy of Kain. Legacy of Kain games basically play with the idea of fate and how much free will we actually have as beings on this earth. And it's just like you follow the arc of one character and his descent in corruption, and then the redemption through another. Like, it was just a beautiful story, like, that basically loops in on itself. It's really well done. If you never played the game series, you don't even have to. Like, you can go on YouTube and basically watch all the cutscenes of all the Legacy of Kain games and the Soul Reaver games all mashed into one. And it's just a great story, man.
I was always so upset they didn't do those in the next gen consoles. Do some kind of stuff with those, because those games are so good.
Yeah, man. Yeah, they really deserve like a reboot, a rehashing. At one point, there was supposed to be a follow up on 360. I think it was either 360 or Xbox One. They had like a demo that they showcased at one point, and it was called like Legacy of Kain. It was like the Sun Order or something like that. But yeah, it was like focusing on a new character, new environments. We were still in Nosgoth, but it was just a different story. It looked really good. I was really hoping that they were going to pursue that, but did not go through the way that they had planned. So
yeah, they were actually, there's videos on YouTube of a game that they started to make and never released.
Yeah.
I think based more around the Raziel character. But there's, you can see them up there if you can find them. I forget exactly what they're labeled, but there's definitely stuff up there.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that they were going to do and never, I don't know if the studio went under or what happened, but they never released it, which is a shame because those are really, really good games.
Yeah, because there was a period of time where like game companies or game developers were like, they were going under, getting folded into other companies, getting bought out by other ones. And I think this was one of the, this was one of the companies that went under. So it's rough, man. It's rough. But that definitely deserves an adaptation. It's a great story. And nobody really gets sick of vampires. Like, vampires are, it's a good story. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah. And like, since they've taken like such a tragic turn as of late, it makes for interesting characters. So.
And it's a little bit of a different take on certain aspects of vampires too, which would be really cool to see.
Yeah. My second pick is the Max Payne series. Yeah, we got an adaptation, but it deserves better treatment than what we got.
You didn't like Mocky Mock's version of Max Payne?
Mocky Mock shouldn't have been nowhere near that. Should have been like, when I think Max Payne, Marky Mark is not somebody that I think of when I think of Max Payne. That was a movie that was made for Bruce Willis. It was for him. It should have been Bruce Willis's movie, him or Mel Gibson. Like, that's who should have been Max Payne. And especially with the last one that came out, I think it was Max Payne 3, where they were in South America. Oh, it was so for those two actors, either one of them. I think Bruce Willis would have killed it as Max Payne. And I really feel like they modeled the character after some of his early work. But yeah, like Max Payne definitely deserves that storytelling, like that classic noir detective crime story. Like it would have been perfect. I mean, look, Max Payne 3 made me not want to travel to South America at all. So that should tell you something.
I'll admit I never played those games. I heard a lot of people talk nothing but good stuff about it, but I've never played any of the Max Payne series. Never got around to it.
Yeah, Max Payne is definitely worth a look over. So yeah, I would definitely want to adapt that. And the last movie that I would adapt that deserves this, deserves it, is God of War. God of War deserves an adaptation, man.
Never argue that. New game coming in April.
Yep. I'm ready. That's the reason why I'm getting this PS4. That's the main reason. You get to see, like, it's weird because whenever you watch anything that has to do with Greek mythology, all the characters are cameos. Like you're waiting for what Greek god is going to show up next. Who's going to have the problems? Who's going to be the bad guys? Who's going to be the good guys? What heroes from mythology are going to be the? I mean, they're like the original comic books, man. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, like, God of War definitely deserves some time on a big screen, and I would definitely like to see that. Momoa would actually make a great Kratos.
Yeah, he'd be perfect. Yeah. He'd be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
No, it's funny, because you made me think of something else. You know, when you're done, I'll pop up the other one that I would think of.
All right. I mean, that's pretty much it for me. Those are my three adaptations, so yeah, we'll go with those.
So the last one that just struck me as you said that would be Darksiders.
Hey, yes. Oh,
Darksiders,
my gosh,
would be a fantastic movie series.
Yes.
With potential to do sequels, you know, obviously because of different characters. You know, that also has a new one coming out this year.
Yeah.
But those would make really good movies. Yeah, I would love to see those.
Yeah. Dang. Oh, you know what? Next week we might have to do some fan casting for Darksiders.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can put some thought into that. Sure.
We might have to do that. But yeah, so that's it. That's what we would adapt, guys, to film in our plethora of geeky story points. That's definitely, you know, the couples that we would have on top. So yeah. So let's talk about what's coming out this week on TV. We got Jessica Jones season 2, man. We are back in Netflix Marvel world. I'm excited.
That'll be Thursday night into Friday, I guess, is when that launches.
Yep. Too bad it's not coming out tomorrow with that snow day.
Right?
I just binged that all day.
Fortunately, the professor is off on Friday anyway because he has an early morning appointment that he has to go to. Decided he would just take the day off. So I will be binging Jessica Jones season 2 when I get home from my appointment right up until it's time for the second item on our TV list, which we can talk about momentarily once we finish.
Yeah. Jessica Jones. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is airing their 100th episode this week.
Yes.
Oh.
I know a lot of people jumped off on this show after, you know, like half the first season, maybe even after the entire first season. You should have stuck with it because it just got better and better and better. And right now, it's fantastic. It's really well written. The shows are really well acted. It's a lot of fun. It's a good show at this point, and it's really coming to a very interesting head on Friday night.
Yeah. It's really solid. I mean, and this is the thing. We say this all the time. Like with Joss Whedon stuff, you gotta be patient. Like that first season is a lot of building, but once it's done, boom, you're in it.
You're in. You know? Yep.
So yeah, it's definitely developed into a really solid show. Exists well on its own. But I definitely love the nods to the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that it gives. And now it's just it's its own animal now, which is great. So,
and it's, you know, the actors, the show are touting this Friday as a very emotional episode, and there's a lot of speculation behind that as to what could potentially be happening.
Who dying?
Well, the common speculation is that we will once again, unfortunately, see the death of Phil Coulson.
Now,
yeah, no. I know, right? I don't know that they'll do that, considering they've already done it once, you know, that's in the movies.
Don't do that.
You know, it's entirely possible. You know, if you're following the show at this point, you know, if you're caught up, you know that Phil's got a little something in him right now.
Yeah, he's dealing with stuff.
He's dealing with stuff on two levels. One, he's got some kind of weird disease that's rummaging through his body, or ravaging through his body, however you want to say it. But he's also got a little bit of the rider inside him.
Oh, that's right. That bargain he made.
The bargain he made. And that's supposed to be revealed this Friday. We're supposed to find out what the bargain was that Coulson made with the rider. So this could be an all-around very interesting episode. You know, I'm looking forward to see. There's a lot of cameos that they're bringing in. You know, Lash is going to make an appearance. Hive is going to make an appearance. We don't know if these are flashbacks, if these things are somehow coming back to existence.
You got Creel, too. Creel's coming back.
Creel's going to be there. Yeah, so we don't really know what exactly is going to happen this Friday, but I am definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
You know, part of the concern people are saying is they don't know that Shield's going to get renewed for season 6.
Oh, man.
So, you know, the death of Coulson could be a way to kind of end the series, so to speak, you know, and you know, maybe somehow spark the reignition of Shield.
Yeah.
You know, and then all these people move on to become agents of Shield and, you know, and go from there. And then, you know, potentially you could move them into the movies from there, you know, as agents of Shield. So
that'd be dope.
That would be all right. I'd be okay with that, other than the fact of, you know, killing Phil Coulson.
Yeah.
You hope, if that's going to be the case, that they have some kind of surprise appearance that we're not expecting.
I really hope they do.
I would really like to see, I can't imagine it, but I would really like to see an appearance of Steve Rogers if you're going to kill off Coulson one last time.
Yeah.
You know, he is underground now, so maybe he would pop up somewhere with them. I don't know that Evans would do the TV show. I don't know that he wouldn't do the TV show.
Right.
But at least somebody, Evans or Downey Jr. or somebody popping up from the movies, you know, to take part in that if we're going to lose him for real. So
yeah. I mean, if anything, I can pretty much guarantee we get to see Fury again, but.
Well, yeah, because Sam's not doing a whole lot right now, so.
Right. He's just chilling.
And he's gonna do whatever you ask him to do anyway. So.
It's like, Sam, you pay for your child's education. You don't have to do this anymore.
I think it's more like, hey, Sam, we were thinking about putting Nick in an episode. I'm there. When am I going to be there? What's up?
I can't check. Even I'm front. In. Sam Jackson is me, basically, in Hollywood. I would do any and every. What? You said what? I can be in what? Oh, I'm near. I'm near. Yeah. Put me on the dotted line. I'll do that.
yeah, oh, you know what? Man. Probably not too far off.
Yeah, so it would be nice if they bring it back, bring it full circle, because if, you know, it's appropriate that S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would end following the 10-year anniversary mark of Marvel Studios, because that's when all of this kind of started. So if they're going to start telling a new story, if they're going to start telling a new arc in the upcoming movies, it's just right that everything should pretty much resolve and close down and get ready for the next gen for you know, whatever you want, Saga 2, you know, we'll call it,
right?
After this is complete. And it would make sense that the younger agents would kind of take more of a forefront, so I'm kind of hoping that we get to see them in the movies, or at least Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as we know it ends, but something else takes place, you know what right. I'm saying? So
We'll see.
That'll be dope. Nothing out in games. At least nothing interesting. And movies this week. We get four new movies coming out. A Wrinkle in Time, which is definitely set to do well at the box office. I'm pretty sure it's going to take number one this weekend. The Gringo, which is. It's a smaller film, but we got Charlize Theron, Joel Edgerton, and David Oyelowo, who's starring in the film. And basically it's about this company that's producing this weed pill, and they manufacture the pill in Mexico. So they're sending one of their reps, played by David Oyelowo, down to Mexico to, you know, see see to it that the shipment gets through and all of that good stuff. It just looks like a hilarious, just nonstop action ride from start to finish. I really can't wait to see David Oyelowo in this type of film, because for the most part, we've been seeing him in intense dramas, nothing big action wise. So it'll be fun to see this kind of like action comedy kind of take place and see him in this. And it'll be cool to see some of the other characters who tend to be more serious in their roles take more of a comedic tone in this film.
Yeah, kind of take that step back and take it. It does look pretty funny. I've seen the trailers for it, so.
Yeah.
It does look like it could be a fun movie.
Yeah. Now, this next movie, The Hurricane Heist, does not look like a good movie. I'll just put that out there. It looks just utterly horrible. And I'm kind of disappointed in I believe his name is Toby Kebbell, for taking this film. Like, this is so out of the norm for him. Like, he did play Dr. Doom in that awful version of Fantastic Four. But he did the Planet of the Apes movies. He was the one monkey with the scar on his eye. I believe that's what his name was, like Scar or something like that. But like, he played like an excellent foil to Caesar in those films. And then we're watching him basically play Fast and the Furious in Sharknado. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, it does not look good. So, yeah. And then you got Strangers, Pray at Night, which is a horror film. You know I'm not banging with it. If it scares me, then it's going to be successful. If you like horror films, then this is the one for you. If I tell you on this show that, hey, I'm going to go see this horror film, it's going to suck. Because if it doesn't scare me, then it's not doing its job.
I mean, I'm not a big horror movie guy either, ultimately. I mean, they don't usually get to me too badly. And this is just one, you know, I think it's a series of ones they just put together because it's kind of got a cult following, you know, like the Stranger series. Looks dumb to me personally. You know, like the other two Stranger movies or one Stranger movie, whatever it was, looked dumb to me.
It's not a situation you will ever catch me in.
Exactly. just don't open the door, stupid. You'll be fine. You know, it is what it is. It'll make its money because people like horror movies and they like the other ones. So.
Yeah.
It'll make a little bit of money. It's not going to top the box office. It's not going to beat out Black Panther.
Nah.
But it'll make its money on the side.
Yeah. It's like I could say that we're going to get A Wrinkle in Time at number one, Black Panther at number two. Red Sparrow may possibly round out at three, but it's going to be really close between Red Sparrow, Death Wish, and Gringo. That's what I see. Yeah. So let's get down into some TV convo, man. Some TV. I got a little movie review for you guys for Death Wish. So we'll talk about that a little later. But we got some TV shows that came on. Got two episodes of Legends of Tomorrow that came out within the last time that we talked to you guys. The episode The Curse of the Earth Totem and No Country for Old Dads, which was pretty hilarious for the most part, all the way through. Yes, I mean, like, I like where the story is going. The intro, like the what do they call them? The MacGuffins for this season are pretty cool.
Yeah,
we got the six totems. And it's funny because if you've been watching the Vixen miniseries, three of these totems you've already been introduced to, and you get introduced to the spirit totem, which is basically Vixen's totem that gives her powers, the fire totem, and the water totem. Kuwasa is a character you get introduced to in the Vixen miniseries. So if you haven't already and you want a little sample of the powers and abilities of at least those three totems, check that miniseries out. It's pretty cool. Season two is up and it's all up together. So they'll run one episode after another. It's like a half hour and you get that short little story and it's pretty cool. But yeah, man, I'm loving the totems, man. I'd like to see. We got the Earth Totem, not this last episode, but the episode before that. It was like all pirate themed, which was fun. So
it was, yeah.
Yeah. Mick was in his element, man.
He totally was. He killed me. Killed me in last night's episode when, you know, he comes in, he's talking about how he stole Jerry Garcia's glasses. And while he takes him away, he just stares him down, doesn't say a word.
I was like, yo, man, you better get that man back.
And they're just like, look, we allow a little bit of stealing, you know, as far as Mick's concerned. While he's like, oh, okay. And gives it back. Very funny moment.
Oh, man, yeah. I really liked last episode. Last episode was high on comedic levels, which I enjoyed. I guess you would say the focus was more Rey, but
right.
But I feel like Sarah got some good time too, and Wally had his moments in there.
And it, you know, left us with a couple of cliffhangers.
Yeah,
when this episode ends, first, you know, Grodd is back.
Yeah,
you know, he's going to be a big character for next week. You know, Grodd shows up and he kills the director of the time agency.
Yeah,
you know, out of nowhere. And you're like, where did Grodd come from? and this woman, I forget her name. The woman who's been in the relationship with Sarah now.
Director something now.
Alex or something.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, something, or Alice, something like that.
Yeah.
So she gets promoted to director. And then the end of the episode comes around, and Rip, who is back, who is one of my favorite characters in the show, I'm hoping he comes back more time. He's calling a director, blah, blah, blah. And they go to return to the Time Bureau and Rip turns back around and he says, Gideon, delete file. And he rattles a file number. You know, the legends can't find out the truth behind, you know, Alice, whatever the character's name is.
Yeah.
And Gideon responds with, yes, Director Hunter. And he goes back into the Bureau and you're like, wait a minute. So now not only did we get one cliffhanger in that. Now we've got two out of the same moment because we don't know what the deal is with this character.
Right.
And now she's calling Hunter Director Hunter when he's not the director as far as the show is concerned yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a really good ending to that episode. So
it really was.
I'm curious to see what happens next, you know, as far as what that all means, if they're going to tell us the season, if we're going to have to wait a season. You know, I like where it's headed now. I think the episodes have been a little goofy for me, although I enjoy them.
Yeah.
But now I'm really curious to see what happens next.
Yeah. 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 It'll be interesting to see where it goes. Like I'm loving what they're doing with the story. It's interesting to take this focus that they're doing this season primarily on Vixen's character and her totem and the origin behind that. And then introducing the Isis character and her totem and how their totems are linked. Like that's all great stuff. And then finding out about this big, like, secret that we're looking to as far as the woman that's placed in the new director's chair. Like, what's her story? Like, it's just so much. It's so much that I want to know as we're moving out. We're getting close to, I guess, the end of the season because we get to that season ender and then we're back in the Supergirl again. So Legends is about to wrap up soon. So we're going to get answers to these questions. So looking forward to it.
Hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, they like to leave us on, like, they do like to leave, the Arrowverse likes to leave us on a hook the last episode and then wrap it up in the first episode of the next season.
Yeah. They do that a lot. You know, and sometimes it's a hook where you're like, all right, I know what's going to happen here. You know, obviously they're not killing Oliver Queen, you know, anytime soon.
Right.
But, you know, stuff like this, it's kind of like, hey, wait a minute. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And if you have to sit and wait for it, it gets really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, man, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing how that goes. But these last two episodes have been really solid. I've been really enjoying them, and we've been escalating very quickly. Like, there's no, I don't feel like we're taking any breaks. Now, next week we might possibly get a break, because now they're focusing on, they're supposed to be saving Elvis from getting killed. Or something. Yeah,
something I don't like know. That. I don't know exactly either, but it looks like it could be pretty amusing.
Right, right. Yeah. And if they decide to throw a pendant, what is it?
Totem.
If they decide to throw a totem in there, that's fine.
Sure.
Because his voice is supposed to be linked to some kind of panic-inducing event that happens in Memphis. We'll see what happens. So the Flash, Subject 9. So basically we're focusing on this new character that gets introduced that has like sound-based abilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get an opportunity to kind of look at the tender side of the Elongated Man.
Horrible name. Had to have been something better than the Elongated Man.
Sometimes you wonder, like, what the discussion was that day at the DC Comics office when they were developing this character. It's like, yo, we need characters, new names, let's go. No, we can't use that. Stretch Arm, no, we can't use that.
Can't call him Plastic Man.
Can't call him Plastic Man, we already got that guy. How about the Elongated Man. Oh, that's great, Jerry.
Rolls right off the tongue, doesn't it?
God. Hey, made sense to them at the time. Whatever.
Yes.
I don't, it's just Power like, to. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I definitely like, what's his name? What's his name?
Oh, or
something.
It's terrible. I watch these shows and can't remember the character names.
But he's like, he's a really solid character. I'm really liking him. His origin is, you know, I like the way that he starts from like a really dark place and kind of redeems himself. And we kind of watch him fall in love with this girl, only to lose her at the end. The tragic life of a hero.
Ralph Dibny.
Ralph Dibny.
Ralph Dibny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they kind of actually made him pretty human in the last episode, and then ripped it away from him at the last minute.
Yeah.
You know, because he's basically just been this sleazeball, you know, doofus for the last couple episodes who's got the goofy powers of being able to, you know, of basically being Plastic Man.
Right.
You know, and he's just like stuck in the 70s kind of character. but he, you know, he meets this woman, you know, he finds out she's a country artist, and he's talking about how he hates country music, and then he sees her, and she's this beautiful woman. And the two of them kind of have this connection all of a sudden. And then, you know, they pull the rug out from underneath poor Ralph at the end of the episode because they give her to Vo.
Yeah.
You know, and
in the worst way, he has to, like, watch her.
He has to watch her because he's stuck and they can't, you know, and Barry's like, we can't get out of this cage. We're stuck, you know, and he just has to watch her be impaled, essentially, and have her mind, her body taken over. You know, and I think that leaves Ralph as the last one.
Yeah. No. We have, I think there's four total, including Ralph, but we got the bus driver is one and two other riders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we'll see where that goes.
They're not doing anything with that tonight. Tonight looks like it's more of a,
it's like a filler episode.
Like a filler episode, but it looks like it's gonna be really good.
Oh yeah. Super intense.
Yeah.
Like, for filler episodes, like, this is new for me. I'm used to filler episodes basically feeling like they're stalling
filler
for time.
Episodes.
Yeah, basically. It's like, this just like you're stalling for time. Like, let's just get back to the main story. Like, I don't understand why people have to, you know, have 22 episodes, seasons when you can really tell the story in 15. You know what I'm saying? So, but this Flash episode feels like it has some weight. And I really like, the stakes are super high for a filler episode, which is great.
It looks intense.
So I'm definitely looking forward to that one. I gotta say, this last episode though, Barry really irked my nerves. So thank God for Iris. because she had to give him a look a couple times. Like,
she did. Because
he was like rushing the girl to try and get her to learn how to use her powers. And she was just like, do you not remember you got shot in the back the first time you started doing this?
That's why I'm saying, man, they gotta leave her powerless. She's gotta be that grounded.
Yeah, she definitely character. Does anchor Barry. I think they may play on that. I think they may play on that. And that'll be a good way to show, like, Iris is super without being a meta. You know what I'm saying? And if they give her powers, I hope it's short-lived and it's basically like everything goes to crap because she has powers.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm cool with that.
I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as they take them back away from her when they're done.
Right, right. It's getting a little congested.
That's what I'm saying. That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, I just had to get rid of Wally. Oh, man. But yeah. So what's up now? The last show that came on last week was Black Lightning, 3-7's The Book of Thunder. Oh no, we got Arrow too. So we got 3-7's The Book of Thunder. Black Lightning is here, y'all. Like, really. I've been kind of worried about this show. The first episode was interesting. I was hooked. Then the last couple episodes just been feeling, they've been feeling kind of slow. Tunnel visioned, I could say. I just didn't feel like there was any real like threats on a regular episode to episode basis. It's just, there was just a focus on the big bad, which I get, but it's like, even the Flash, I feel like they divvy it out. Like, yes, you have the main overarching DeVoe character that you have to worry about, but there's threats on an episode to episode basis that carry the show. So, you know, now we're back in it. We're back in it and I'm feeling good. We're getting introduced to the Thunder character. And now things are starting to pick up. So I'm looking forward to this week's episode and see how that goes. 'Cause now we're getting more into his daughter's powers and how they work and how she fits into this greater Lightning verse and how these two characters are going to team up to do whatever it is that they need to do. So I'm good with it. I'm definitely good with it now and I'm ready for more.
Yeah. I'm still catching up on it. Like we talked about earlier offline a little bit, but
yeah,
you know, it's definitely at a point for me as I'm watching where I'm kind of like, is this going somewhere? Or is this
right. Kinda, right.
Like, you know, it's been a lot of focus on the main bad guy, you know, and his daddy issues.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, Black Lightning with his headaches and weird stuff that he's having. Like, that's kind of where I'm at right now in the shows.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a whole lot of substance to the shows outside of that stuff. And I don't feel like that stuff's really enough to kind of carry the show.
Yeah. It's like you introduce a MacGuffin. I feel like you introduce a MacGuffin like the green light drug that's circulating.
Yep.
That's what you need to focus on. You know what I'm saying? Find out more about that. Let's find out what it's actually doing to people's bodies. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like this last episode started diving into that a little bit. That's what we need. That's what we need. Like, we need that event. You know, this has the potential to be really good. I was talking to my girl last week. Like, they could borrow a lot from the Dakotaverse, since the Dakotaverse, in all actuality, now resides in the DC universe. And for those of you that aren't familiar, the Dakotaverse is where Static Shock, you got heroes like Icon and Rocket. That's where they all reside. And all of their powers are born out of what is called the Big Bang. It was a big chemical spill during a gang war. And like all the people that were involved get superpowers as a result. They have an opportunity to use this green light drug as their Big Bang catalyst. And we could be introduced to a lot more characters within the Dakotaverse. And the Lightning Verse in and of itself could exist on its own. And I'd be fine with it not having to do anything with the Arrowverse if they were going to do that. But if you're going to introduce this character and do these slow rollouts the way that you're doing, it's like it's not going to hold multiple seasons. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So I just need that story to pick up, man. It's just, it's, there's opportunities there. They just got to take them.
Yeah, you're going to start losing interest pretty quickly if you don't.
Yeah.
If you don't give a little more substance to what we're going through.
Yep, yep. And then Arrow this week. Arrow last week was, what was that? I can't remember the title of that episode, but we finally got the two teams fighting.
Oh, right. It was the episode where Black Canary's team is trying to kill Black Siren. They're trying to find her and kill her. And what's his name? Mr. Terrific is having all kinds of issues with it because he doesn't want to, you know, we don't want to turn into killers, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, Black Canary's like, well, I'm going to kill her one way or the other because she killed my man. Essentially, that's what she's getting into, right?
Yeah.
And Wild Dog's all like, you know, yeah, let's just kill her. Who cares? You know, like he's kind of that, you know, that side of the coin.
Right.
Then he gets all kinds of messed up, you know, because the whole fight goes down and Ollie kicks him kind of in the chest and into a tree. And it's a little so odd, but it's what happened. Yeah. He I was almost said it. He messed that boy up something fierce.
I mean, If Wild Dog had a dad, Ollie would be it.
Yeah.
Oh man, he checked that ball.
He did.
But I can honestly say that I am officially over the separation. I am.
Yeah, it's gotten a little too stupid at this point for me.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. It's just like, and for me, it's not so much because it could have worked. It could have worked, if they tried to stay separate, you know, they, you know, and eventually reconcile and just say, hey, look, it's better to do it this way. We work efficiently this way. We will share with you intel, but us sharing the same, you know, hideout just doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? I could work for that. You know what I'm saying? I could live with that. But the places that they went, like, I get Black Canary is hurting because, you know, I mean, her loved one was killed. I get it.
Sure.
But it's just like, yo, she went to a dark place. Like, you're supposed to be an officer of the law.
Right.
I'm supposed to trust you to what is it, protect and serve. And it's like, yo, you're playing, like, you're already playing a dangerous game being a vigilante and still being in law enforcement. But the whole, like, this tunnel vision vendetta that you have against one person, like you're trying to kill somebody. Like Terrific brought it up a couple times, like what you're talking about right now is murder. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And like you really want to do this, you know what I'm saying? And then I just feel bad because they pulled Terrific into a really dark place that I just didn't like. Like, yo, how can you do that to Diggs like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was just too much. I think that was crossing the line. And it's definitely going to change. It's going to change the dynamic moving forward. Like, yo, like, really? Like, you spent this time healing me up. You put this chip in me so that I can steady my hand. You got mad at me because I didn't ask you for help. And now you want to use this technology against me? Like, yo, come on. For what? So y'all can kill somebody.
Right.
It's just too much, man.
It's just weird. Like, a lot of it was just weird. Like, my initial issue is that the girl who plays Black Canary is not very good at playing angry. you know, I want to kill somebody. She just doesn't have that kind of chops to her. I didn't feel like.
Yeah.
But then it's like, you know, Curtis the whole time is, we can't do this, we can't do this. But then within, like, the blink of an eye, he's like, we can mess up John real bad, and that's how we can find him. And you're like, what? Like, really? Is he going to do that?
It's like, I wouldn't even have put that on the table. I'd have been like, nah, I don't know how to find him.
Yeah, nah, I got nothing.
I ain't got nothing.
But then the end of the episode rolls around, and they're like, no, you have no right to ask how he's doing, because you all fought with us. It's like, you brought the fight to them.
Right.
Like, you attacked them. They were basically defending themselves and defending her.
He was trying to avoid that. He was trying to avoid that. He's like, don't force my hand.
Right.
I ain't let you get it the way that you could get it. Capuchon came out, yo.
Yeah.
oh man, yo. He had to come out with a certain set of skills and break the bullets down.
It didn't make a whole lot of sense. It didn't feel right when they did it. But, you know, you kind of hope maybe that's over at this point, that the invite to it, they're still going to hate each other for whatever reason.
Right,
right. Or, I mean, Team Wild Dog's going to hate the other team for whatever reason. But, you know, maybe it's, you know, maybe the whole fight against each other thing is going to go out of the way at this point.
Yeah. And now my question is, like, are Felicity and Curtis still going to be in business together? Because I'm like, if I'm Felicity and I'm seeing, like, what he did to John, I'm like, yo, I can't even be in business with you right now.
Yeah, I mean, they spent all that time setting up that whole thing. The two of them going to business together, they're going to change the world, and now Curtis won't even talk to her. You know, I imagine that Curtis is going to change his mind at some point.
Yeah, he's going to be the first one. He's the weakest link.
He's right. He's going to be the one who breaks. He's like, well, you know what? They're still good people. They're going to do their thing. I don't know. I like the show, and I still think it comes off well enough, but I think this inter-team stuff is, you know, I'm glad that it's over and we're not going to have to worry about that again.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh, man. Well, that is it for the TV reviews. I got a chance to check out Death Wish over the weekend, and I gotta say, I enjoyed it. Like, it was simple. It was a superhero origin story for the rest of us. That's what it felt like. Cause this guy was dark. And I mean, like, it's realistic in the fact that it's just like, yo, if you push somebody to this limit, this is a possibility of what could happen. You know what I'm saying? And it's great. It's not a vengeance tale at all. This is straight up revenge. This is straight up revenge that builds into something more. Like, he's taking down bad guys, and he's taking them down to the point where they're not getting back up. And basically all he's doing is he's pigeonholing. He's basically all these other bad guys that are out here. He takes them down in the route to look for the main perpetrators that destroyed his family. You know what I'm saying? But, like, look, if you just want a good time at the movies, this is good. This is a really solid film. Like, I liked Death Wish. I can't wait for the DVD. Like, I want to see this one again. Like, but I'm not in a rush to go to see it at the theaters again, like I am with other films. But yeah, no, I mean, Bruce Willis was really solid. I'm trying to see who else was recognizable in this. The two detectives that originally signed on to his original case. But it makes you look at law enforcement. Like, there's a strong line that's provided in there by his father-in-law, because his father-in-law lives on a farm, and somebody was trying to poach off his farm. He tries to take matters into his own hands, so he's like shooting at him, and Bruce Willis is just kind of sitting there. He's like, you know, it's like, you could just call the police or something. It's like, what are they going to do? He's like, there's certain situations where a man has to take matters into his own head. Felt really Wild West like for this to be a modern story, it felt like the Wild West. And, you know, I'm a sucker for a Western, easy. And this is definitely one that just got me in. I was like, as soon as I heard that line, I said, okay, I know what we here for. But yeah, man, definitely go check out Death Wish if you got a moment and you really like, you just want a good action flick to check out, something that feels like a Western, a nice revenge tale. Like, it's been a while since we had something like a decent heavy revenge tale like this. So, right. Yeah, this is definitely a good time at the movies. So
all right, cool.
Yeah, man.
Good to know.
Yeah. So that is all we have today, folks. That's it. There's no more.
You already gave you an hour and a half to deal with it.
I know, right? This is the best. We give you the best every week. So just, you know, hang tight. We'll get you with something next week. Got a good show planned for you then. And maybe we have some more reviews because I'm definitely trying to check out a Wrinkle in Time this weekend. So right, cool. I'll be able to tell you guys about that.
You go ahead and trudge through the snow to go see that. I'm going to stay in my warm house.
Is this supposed to snow again on the weekend?
It's supposed to snow like Saturday, Sunday to Monday, somewhere in there.
Dang, I thought it was going to be Monday and Tuesday.
Last thing I saw was Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So, oh, man, and it's supposed to be a big one.
You are in the way, snow. Come on.
That's what I'm saying. It's supposedly the last two, so we'll see.
Hopefully. We'll see. That's what they say.
Yeah. They, who are never right, but we shall see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, but that's it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you're tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook, The Boss's Desk, Twitter, at The Boss's Desk, got a YouTube channel, The Boss's Desk. We're also on Google Play and on iTunes. You can just subscribe to our podcast and get the updates as we release these every week. You guys will know as soon as something's out there. If you have any questions about anything you heard on the show or anything in the news that you want us here at The Boss's Desk to talk about, just send your questions to us on Twitter. You can just tweet at The Boss's Desk or send us an email at questions@thebossesdesk.com. And we'll take a look at your question, your comment, and, you know, if we decide to, you might hear it here on the Geek News of the Week. So, yeah, that's it for me and the professor here today at The Boss's Desk. Man, we'll catch you guys next week. Later.
See ya.